Chapter 8. Mr. Mombri had overexerted himself in the relief of the suffering poor, and fell a victim one of the last to the pestilence which had carried off so many. 2 days later he lay in his coffin. Laura was in the room below. A servant brought in some letters, and she glanced them over. One was the note from herself to Mombri, informing him that she was unable to endure life with him any longer, and was about to elope with Vanikok. Having read the letter, she took it upstairs to where the dead man was, and slipped it into his coffin. The next day she buried him. She was now free. She shut up his house at Durnover Cross, and returned to her lodgings at Creston. Soon as he had a letter from Vanikok, and 6 weeks after her husband's death her lover came to see her. "I forgot to give you back this that night," apostrophe he said presently, handing her the little bag as he had taken as her whole luggage when leaving. Laura received it and absently shook it out. There fell upon the carpet a brush, comb, slippers, nightdress, and other simple necessaries for a journey. They had an intolerably ghastly look now, and she tried to cover them. "I can now," apostrophe he said, "ask you to belong to me legally, when a proper interval has gone instead of as we meant." Apostrophe apostrophe, there was languor in his utterance, hinting at a possibility, that it was perfunctorily made. Laura picked up her articles, answering that he certainly could so ask her she was free. Yet not her expression either could be called an ardent response. Then she blinked more and more quickly, and put her handkerchief to her face. She was weeping violently. He did not move, or try to comfort her in any way. What had come between them? No living person. They had been lovers. There was now no material obstacle whatever to their union. But there was the insistent shadow of that unconscious one. The thin figure of him, moving to and fro in front of the ghastly furnace in the gloom of Durnover Moor. Yet Vanikok called upon Laura, when he was in the neighborhood, which was not often, but in 2 years, as if on purpose, to further the marriage which everybody was expecting, the St. Foot returned to Budmouth Regis. Thereupon the two could not help encountering each other at times. But whether because the obstacle had been the source of the love, or from a sense of error, and because Mrs. Mombri bore a less attractive look as a widow than before, their feelings seemed to decline from their former incandescence to a mere tepid civility. What domestic issues supervened in Vanikok's further story the man in the Oriel never knew, but Mrs. Mombri lived, and died a widow. 1900. The Waiting Supper. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.